Daniel and Kathleen.
Hello.
Hi.
You know the way I'm always slightly, let's face it, scoffing about animals having their own Twitter accounts? You know, dogs, cats, guide dogs.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm a bit... I think it's because I'm not an animal person. But anyway, I think I'm going to have to eat Verona's harness now because Kika, the guide dog's Twitter account, has gone from 300 followers to 6,000 followers in the past few weeks. All because of a story that Daniel and Beth ran on Ouch a few weeks ago. This is Inside Ouch. I'm Emma Tracy. We've got Kathleen Hawkins.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I've missed being on this podcast.
We've got new to Ouch, Daniel Gordon.
Hello there.
And our guest is the one and only Amit Patel and his guide dog Kika, the very famous Kika. Hi, Amit.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Daniel, what was the story in the first place?
The original story was all about how Amit had fitted a GoPro camera, so a spy camera or dog cam, as we called it, to the top of Kika so that he could find out what had been going on around him when he got home, having been out all day with Kika. And he'd upload the footage to his laptop and then get his wife to take a look and say, oh, you know, that thing that unsettled you earlier, actually that was some kids taking the mickey out of you behind you that you couldn't hear, that sort of thing. And so we were just interested to hear more. So we went to spent most of the day with him and with Kika. And then we put up what we filmed up on the website.
Amit, what happened next?
It went crazy. Life went absolutely crazy for us. We'd never imagined how many people would actually watch the story or listen to the story. Within 24 hours, we had BBC News filming live from the house. We've done so many other media, TV appearances, radio, media all the way around the world. We were live in America on the news. And even tonight, we're doing a feature in Australia. So it's kind of caught us off guard slightly, and it's a full-time job going through all the emails, all the correspondence we receive.
You told me how many emails you'd received in one day at one point. How
so within 24 hours, we got 3,000 emails.
Whoa. Wow.
So for my wife, it was hard work. I think my laptop, it crashed. It couldn't keep up. VoiceOver on my laptop just could not keep up.
You broke the internet.
I broke the internet.
Can I say, even just going to meet Amit in reception here, people were at least one person came running up to say, hi, Amit. You know, he's well known.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So
well known across the BBC.
Do you know what? I'm actually known as the guide dog man. People can't remember my name. They can remember Kika. And even walking through the village, you know, people shout, oi, guide dog man, I heard you on the TV, or I saw you on the TV, you know, I read about you on the newspaper. They can't remember my name, but they all remember Kika, though.
Do you enjoy it?
Do you know what? It's nice. It's nice in the fact that people are aware. Where before, you might have seen me and Kika out and about, but never really paid any attention. Now I find people actually stop and actually ask me if I'm okay. I had one lady who approached me and said, oh, I see you at the station, you know, every single day, and I've seen you for a year, but I've never known how to approach you. Mm. And we put up a little tweets on Kika's account saying, guiding people how to approach a visually impaired person. And she must have read this and actually approached me and said, hi, my name is, you know, are you okay? Do you need any assistance? And it feels good. Wow. It feels really good.
Why do we think this story has captured people's attention as much as it has?
I have no idea. I was never really a doggy person, not really an animal person until Kika came into my life. So I never knew the bond people have with their pets or with animals. And I know that now. You can barge a fellow commuter out the way, but the moment you touch a dog, oh boy. But it's nice. You know, 99% of the time, people are fantastic out there. It's just that 1%. And, you know, London's so big, you do get a few people who think it's absolutely fine to barge people out the way, even barge guide dogs out the way.
It's quite interesting because there was a blind guy on the tube this morning as I was getting on. And we've spoken about this before on the podcast, but I could see that the guy who was sitting down, who got up to offer him his seat, did not know what to do.
Yeah.
Didn't know whether to say anything. So, in fact, he didn't end up saying anything. He just grabbed his arm and guided him to the chair, which seemed uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, no, that's the worst thing you can do is grab someone without them, you know, without actually introducing yourself. Because being blind myself, I find I don't know the dangers around me. So if someone grabs me, I don't know if it's a friendly grab or it's an aggressive grab, and that's the hardest thing. So if you're unsure on how to approach someone, you know, it's just go up to them and just say, you know, my name is, and ask them if they need assistance, and it makes life a lot easier.
I love the fact that some people get up and they don't tell you that they've gotten up. I have actually stood on a packed bus for at least 4 or 5 stops and then realised that there was an empty seat beside me. So I'm standing in the aisle of a packed bus with my dog, and there's been a seat pretty beside me the whole time, but no one told me. Nobody told me.
That happened to me this morning on the tube. Exactly the same thing. It was a busy tube when I got on. Someone must have stood up and made some space for me, but nobody on the tube actually told me there was a seat next to me. And I'm grabbing on with dear life onto the actual rails not to fall over.
But I think I've been guilty of that before, not really knowing, you know, it's only now that I'm coming into contact with blind people through my work. And so my awareness is growing right now. So now I'm starting to understand what to do. But in the past, I've not known, you know, I would probably have been one of those people who didn't say, just because I didn't know what the right thing to do to say was.
You also get the two extremes. You get people who are very eager to help you, and they will just grab you. Incidences like when you're trying to get on a train and there's a big gap on the platform. So Kika's got two paws already on the train, and then all you feel is someone grabbing your arm to help you up, which you're not expecting. Or someone who will just, as you get on a train or a bus, just kind of push you out the way because they're trying to give you a seat before anybody else sits down. But it's scary.
Have you been down the gap yet?
I've nearly been down the gap. I've do you know what? Kika's been on the tube once, and I just managed to get on because as she got on, someone started distracting her. And I heard a voice from behind me who said, "Oh, you shouldn't distract that guide dog." And the lady who was actually distracting Kika actually turned around and said, "Well, I sponsor guide dogs, therefore it's my right to distract her at any time." And all I said is, you know, it's absolutely fine. You can come and say hi to us, but let the dog on first, you know, and let me on as well. Otherwise, Kika's on the train, I'm on the platform and the door shuts.
Is that a negative that might have come out of the article, is that people now want to come up and speak to Kika more?
Oh, no. Do you know what? Most of the time when we're on the train, Kika does her puppy eyes really well. You know, she knows Daddy can't see the puppy eyes, but other fellow commuters, you know, she will lock on and she will wait until they say hello. And that's absolutely fine. You know, as...
You can sense her working the crowd.
All the time. And you can hear, she does this, kind of noise, which means that she's seen someone she wants to say hello to, but she's in harness, so she's not allowed to go and approach them. So it means that you have to approach us.
Longing for them to come over.
Oh, absolutely. Before I had Kika, travelling around was very lonely. I used to stand in the corner with my white cane and listen out for the announcements. If it's a really, really busy train, it's really difficult to hear out for announcements. And I was always worried that I'd miss my stop, or I'm always thinking about the next steps ahead of me. So I found it really, really lonely when I used to be out with my white cane. But with Kika now, we get people approaching us and talking to us. Or I'm talking to Kika like she can understand every word I say, with the advantage that she doesn't talk back to me. You know, it's not rare for me to be singing to her on the tube or something, and I forget that I'm in a busy tube. You know, I'm happy when I'm out and about, and that's what she does to me. She makes me happy.
Have there been any negatives from the big explosion of media attention?
Not really. You get the odd comments here and there saying, you know, guide dog owners or blind people shouldn't be out at peak times. You know, we cause our own troubles. But, you know, I don't want to be out at peak times if I don't have to. It's only because I have to go to work. It's what it is. Everybody else is in the same situation. I think most of it has been fantastic. And the fact that it's just gone worldwide. And the funny thing is, my gran phoned me from India. And she said, "Oh, Amit, you and Kika are on the front page of the Indian Times." And it's crazy. And, you know, we've had messages from Korea. And we had no idea Korea had guide dogs. But they have 6 or 7 guide dogs.
Children have been contacting you as well, haven't they?
They have. We've had so many requests for interviews from children who are writing for their school newspapers, which is great. And we're finding a lot of this is coming in from America and Canada. I think we've done about 12 interviews with kids who are writing for their newspapers, and it's great. But it's gone from it's gone from, you know, kids to adults to everybody's talking about it. And I know it's working because a couple of days ago I was at Liverpool Street Station, not a station I'm familiar with, but I was waiting for a colleague. And in the 5 minutes I was waiting, I had more people approach me and ask me if I needed help than I had in the year and a half I've had Kiko, or the entire time I've actually been blind. Because they told me they read, you know, the articles and they feel confident.
That is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
It just shows you how easy it can be as well. Yeah. If you're just open with that education, people will just take it on board and feel more confident.
When we're walking down a road, you hear a child will say, "Oh, mummy, don't distract the dog. It's a working dog." Where the parents want to go in and actually say hello. Or you get parents who say, "Oh, go and say hello to that dog." And you think, no, she's working. You know, Kika's actually trying to cross the road. And you're getting your son or daughter to come and say hello.
Is it okay to have a camera on a guide dog? Is that some? I mean, A, is it uncomfortable for her?
You
want
to talk to the BBC policy people about that?
Is it okay for her to have it? Is it heavy? And what do guide dogs think of it?
We did actually talk to guide dogs beforehand, and a lot of guide dog owners actually wear cameras on their chest. So not on the dog, but on a chest mount on themselves. Just to capture the footage, because you don't know what's around you. And, you know, sometimes I would go home and I'd say to my wife, "Oh, you know, this journey was a lot more difficult than it needed to be. You know, I couldn't find a member of staff. I could hear stuff, but I couldn't find a member of staff."
I have a little son and you have a baby son. Yeah. Do you go out with your son on your own?
I do. So he's strapped to my chest. Every minute or so, Kiko will stop, have a look and just make sure the baby's still there.
Yeah.
Because he's fast asleep in the chest harness most of the time.
Yeah, they always go straight to sleep, don't they, on your chest. But I'm really keen to know, because I've always been really interested in what people's reactions are to you and me when they see you, guide dog, baby. What they do, which they stare at first, and what their kind of looks are. And I guess because you've had the camera on, you might have a bit of an insight into that.
What tends to happen is they actually stop exactly where they are. And they will stop right in front of me. And it won't just be one person. It'll be a husband and wife and their kids. And they will stop and they'll stare and they'll point. But I think people look shocked to see a blind person walking around with a baby and a guide dog. But I know a gentleman who has a baby strapped to his chest, a baby strapped to his back, and has a long cane and has a child holding his hand. I get a lot of good on you. All the time. It's you know, oh, well done. I think people just see it and think, you know, it could be done. And I, you know, I'm happy when I've got a little one. I've got Kika beside me. Even my wife's walking next to me. She's got the nappy bags. You know, she's got all the changing paraphernalia strapped to her back, but I've got the baby. But people will stop and actually get in her way. So she gets annoyed. which is quite funny.
I can confirm as well that they are not stopping and pointing because you're blind and you can't see them doing that, because I walk with prosthetics and I can see them do that to me. They stop, they turn around, they point, they nudge their family member.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, it's that cheeky nudge. You know, they don't say anything, but cheeky nudge and a point, you know.
I follow them with my eyes as well. I follow and look at them, but...
Yeah, so you've got that luxury, I guess. Mm. But in one way, it's a luxury, and in another way, I'm quite delighted that I don't know what people are, how they're responding. I don't know if I want to know, but maybe that's because I'm worried that there'll be negatives. You know, whereas actually Amit, you know, has proven that there are very, very few negatives.
Do you know where we really are? When I do leave my house, I tend to listen to all the positives anyway, you know, but sometimes you can have one of those bad days where the negatives kind of gets into your head and it stays there all day long. And then you can have that bad day.
Well, for me, yeah, I wondered whether the piece has actually just highlighted a much bigger problem in that people are finding disabled people still a nuisance.
Yeah, but some of the footage we get is when we're on a train and I'll ask Kika to find me a seat, and we like to sit down on one of the ones that flip down. That way Kika's under the seat and she's safe and she's not in anybody's way. But on the footage, we can see people with their shopping on there, or, you know, they've got their legs up on the seats. I remember one time when I put my hand on the seat thinking it was free, about to sit down, and told it had someone's shopping on there and I couldn't sit down.
Yeah. Did anyone see that footage? I think Five News got it, of the lady just after the bus case was given in the Supreme Court that drivers had to make more effort to let wheelchair users use the priority spaces, even if there was a buggy already in there. And there was a woman, a disabled woman, giving her reaction to the result. And then she tried to get on a bus. and there was an empty double buggy on the ground floor of the bus. And as it turned out, the mum and the kids were upstairs.
Yeah.
So the buggy was unfolded and downstairs. So she got the bus driver, this is all on camera, she got the bus driver to try and sort it out. And then the passengers started saying, would you just get on the bus? We're trying to get to work. Would you just get on the bus now, please? Once the buggy had been moved. And it was... The disabled woman on camera was in tears because it does make you cry. It makes you angry tears, usually for me, you know, but, you know, those kind of little things that don't seem huge, they're the things that upset you, I think.
But the thing is, I think in cities where people are in a hurry and they've got a million things going on in their head and they've got to be somewhere by, you know, in 2 minutes flat and whatever, people just do completely ridiculous things because the stress drives them to do it. And I say them, I mean, I'm as guilty of it as anybody, if we can use this as a bit of a confessional. I mean, the other day I did something which I'm now very ashamed of, because I was trying to drive my son to football and we were late for the match. Just as we almost reached the ground, this whole stream of kids on bicycles being taken on a bicycle tour of that precise area pulled out in front of us. And I was like, oh, now what am I going to do? You know, I've got him freaking out in the back because we're going to be late. And I know that any second now I'm going to get the coach calling me saying, where are you? So I tried to overtake these kids. And of course, it was just a horrible disaster. And I got caught in the middle of them and they were all looking at me, you know, giving me dagger stares. And it was actually very dangerous. And I've got a small child that, you know, could have been one of the kids on the bikes. Anyway, all passed off fine. So aside from some dirty looks, but just to give you an idea, I like to think I'm, you know, considerate of other people, but I ended up just, you know, driven from this urgency to get to a match, which in the end was cancelled, by the way. But, you know, I mean, I think that's what's going on, really, isn't it? That's the mentality.
Yeah. We live in a very fast-paced world now, don't we?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stress is a part of that. But I guess it just highlights how impatient people are, because quite often if you do have a disability, those things just take longer, and it highlights that people aren't prepared to wait, I guess.
Yeah.
Amit Patel, thank you so much for joining us. And how exciting is it that story has had such a big impact on you and on lots of people around you as well?
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Thanks also to Daniel Gordon.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll join us again.
Yeah, I've enjoyed my debut.
And thanks to Kathleen Hawkins, and welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
This has been Inside Ouch. I'm Emma Tracy. If you want to contact us, you can get us on email, ouch@bbc.co.uk. Find us on Twitter @BBC Ouch, or like us on Facebook. Goodbye.